Okay. Hi, welcome. Today is Monday, March 23rd. I open the House Committee on Human Services and Housing, and we are going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3187. Robin, please read us a summary of the bill.
Very good. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3187 increases term of service to increases term of service on Commission for the Blind to 4 years, defines full term of service, sets and clarifies term limits for Commission of the Blind service, declares emergency effective on passage. And just a moment for the sheet.
Okay, so can I please call up Carla McClellan, Chris Morse, and Larry Morse?
Do you want me to go ahead and start?
Yes, sure.
Okay. My name is Carla McQuillan, and I live in Springfield. I am the vice chair of the Oregon Commission for the Blind, and I'm the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon. I am the executive director of Main Street Montessori Association, and in my spare time, I testify at hearings.
Yay for you.
The reason that this actually came up this year is because we understood, I am currently serving in my second two-year term on the Commission for the Blind Board, and it became our understanding that the folks in the governor's office wanted a greater participation level from members of the community, so they did not want to allow people on boards and commissions to serve three terms, but only two. And there's a couple of things that are of concern with regard to the Commission for the Blind Board, and one of them is that the learning curve for what goes on in the blindness community, who the players are, what all of the processes are, is pretty high. There are a lot of there are members on the board who are not blind who have virtually no knowledge of some of the things that go on in the blindness community. And this particular June, there would be three of us who are blind cycling off of the board if the two-year terms were enforced. And currently, there are three of the seven board members who have been on for less than a year. So this would put six of the seven board members who had been on the board for less than a year all coming together to try to govern and make policy decisions for the agency, which we think would really reduce the effectiveness of the governance of the Commission for the Blind Board. So this is one of the reasons that we think this is important. Also, in looking at other boards and commissions, a two-year term is pretty short. Most of them are three or four, or even some of them six-year terms. So that's kind of the backstory on why we brought this in.
Any questions, or you want to hear the rest of the panel first?
About the Commission on the Blind? So
right.
I'll listen.
Okay.
If I have questions.
All right. Thank you. Next.
My name is Larry Morse. I'm from Yamhill County. I am a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon, and I want to testify in favor of this bill. I have been at many commission meetings over the years, and it's real obvious when they get a new commissioner, especially one that isn't blind, but even blind ones, that they don't understand the needs of the blind. And it's with the Commission for the Blind being the controlling commissioners for not just an advisory commission. It's really important that they get to understand what the needs of the blind are, and when they've got a two-year term, by the end of that two-year term, they're just about getting it. And then if they're replaced, we start all over again with somebody else that doesn't know. Personally, I'd like to see all the commissioners be blind people, but, you know, realistically, I know that isn't going to happen. But giving a longer term gives them a chance to get up to speed and then be a functional member of the commission.
Okay.
Any questions?
Anyone want to ask questions now, or do you want to wait to the end of the panel?
Can we?
Sure.
Wait? Okay, thank you.
Honey.
My name is Chris Morris, and I'm a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon. I'm in favor of this bill. And the fact that it should be a longer term, 4 years instead of 2 years, in that as the two previous members have stated, if they're only 2 years, they just don't get it. And then there's somebody new coming in and starting over. I know when they get past the 2 years, if they're reelected,
appointed,
they get involved in different things, and they can get new projects started. They can get such things as the merchants going on a faster pace. I would like to see the terms lengthened.
Okay, good. Any questions for this panel? We have one other person signed up after this, and there may be other people that want to testify. Representative Buehler.
Thank you very much. I'm very supportive of the commission, but over the years there's been a number of reports of fiscal irresponsibility in the agency. Such things as excessive paying for vehicles, pedicures, dragon boat races, etc. Have those been addressed and taken care of?
Yes, if I may, Representative. They have. As a matter of fact, my first year on the Commission for the Blind Board, the audit from the Secretary of State's office had just come out. You know that we've had a change of administration in the agency, and that, you know, kind of did a trickle down. It was top down, but there's a lot of new management, upper management, and the commissioners took this very seriously, and the last review has been very positive. We've been checking every meeting. We look at all of those specific areas. The agency has gone through a whole new management program where we've got different team leaders that are focusing on a lot of new innovative things that the agency is taking on. So again, I would say this is one of the other reasons why lengthening the terms for the commissioners would be helpful, because we've got all of that agency history. And somebody coming in new, well, these ones who just recently came in, they're seeing the tail end of the oversight that we're providing as a commission board, but really don't have all of the background on what transpired that got us to where we are now. But honestly, I'm very pleased with the new management. I am pleased with the way that things are going. And in my position as president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon, that was not always so. Okay. I was very critical of the way that the agency had come out in some of these audits. So yes, I'm pleased with the progress we've made.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Representative Hayden.
Chair Kenninger, so just reading through this, I see that this is appointed by the governor's office. Is there any barriers with that? You mentioned wanting to have people that were blind or legally blind on the board. When it's directed to the governor's office, do you have difficulty finding those candidates, or does that work pretty smoothly?
You know, that's a really good question, because as I just recently said, there are a few board members who actually have only served on the board for about 6 months now. My understanding is, and perhaps there is actually an employee of the agency, Angel Hale in the back of the room, who may be able to answer this better than I, but my understanding was that they had a difficult time finding people who fit the statutory requirements for the board members on the Commission for the Blind, which again would seem kind of silly to turn over the board so quickly if they're having a difficult time filling the spots.
Yeah, I was just I was just wondering if that created a barrier.
That it goes through the governor's office?
Yeah.
I don't know that it does. I think the bigger issue is getting out the word when positions become available and encouraging people to apply for them. For a time, and I haven't had to apply recently, the application to become a commissioner was not accessible to blind people, so I had to have someone else fill it out for me. Just an FYI. I was told it was being fixed, but
that's definitely
it would be easier to fill out if you know what I'm saying. So,
is it real?
So, I think you're clarifying this for me, but my question relates to what is the process that you or somebody would go through to make themselves aware to the governor's office that you wanted to do this job?
Okay, there is an application process, and there are, on the one for the Commission for the Blind, there are a number of things that you need to submit, a letter of interest, and also there are the specific statutory members of the Commission Board. There's a business person and an educator and an eye care professional, and you actually check boxes for which ones you might apply for. So there is a standard, just like the other boards and commissions, there's a standard application process. It goes into the governor. The governor reviews them. The National Federation of the Blind of Oregon and the American Council of the Blind of Oregon have seats, the two blind consumer organizations have seats on the commission board traditionally. So usually what we do when we know our position is coming up, we vote as an organization on the individual that we would like to have represent us. So we're kind of in the loop more than most people, I think.
Okay.
Happy to help get the word out to more people, but it is available all the time online.
Thank you. That answers my question. I was wanting to make sure that you had input in that process.
Yes, sir.
Clearly in the bill.
Representative Evans, did you have a question?
No, ma'am. Putting the question.
So I was wondering, you're going from 2-year terms times 3 terms of 6 years total to now 4-year terms times 3 terms for 12-year total. Did you consider at all limiting it to 2 terms times 4 so you're getting 8, or did you really feel that you need the 12 years? You need the at least possibility of having 12 years to...
Kind of what we thought is it's been 3 2-year terms for a very longer, way back before me.
Uh-huh.
The 4-year terms we talked about, to be very honest with you, I actually didn't go, wow, 12 years. That's actually kind of a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The trend in government in Oregon right now is to limit to 2 terms. In fact, when I spoke with the policy advisor in the governor's office, Alana, she indicated to me that it would probably just be 2 terms, mm-hmm. not 3, even if 3 was in statute.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a part of me is thinking 8 years is good. 8 years is way better than a total of 6. It's certainly better than a total of 4, which is where we're kind of looking at right now.
Right.
And they're actually, depending on what, there's a Senate companion bill that is up for a hearing tomorrow. Depending on how the committee feels, I believe that there has been an amendment drafted that would make it 4-year terms for a maximum of 2 consecutive.
All right. Could you each just comment briefly on whether you would be okay with that? What would your opinion be of that?
I'll go ahead and go first since
go
I've
ahead,
been
Carla. You're
talking.
The boss.
I would prefer that it be open to 3-4-year terms, and I guess one of my thoughts on that would be depending on what is going on in the agency and what kinds of issues the board is dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we're right in the middle of something pretty big right now that we've been working on for some time. The thought of being pulled away and replaced by somebody who's coming in fresh is a little frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we had the three, there might be an opportunity to kind of juggle that around a little bit and make sure that if, hey, if everything's seems to be going smoothly, then I can cycle off after 8 years, no problem.
Because you have to be renominated after every four years. Correct.
Yes,
and
every,
go through
yes,
the Senate
every term you have to. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's the point I was going to mention, that even if it was 12 years,
right,
the governor's choice, it can only be four if he want, he or she wants it to be that.
Right.
So, and the commissioner maybe decides after 8 years, you know, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
Let somebody else
had.
Come in,
right,
which has happened.
Right.
So it's not mandatory, you know, you're absolutely going to have somebody there for 12 years.
Right.
That's at the choice of the governor.
Right. Okay, thank you. And
Chris,
did you want to add anything to that?
I would rather, I would like to see it stay be the 12 years.
Uh-huh.
But again, it is up to the governor.
Right. Okay. Thank you, panel.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Next, we have LaWanda Miranda. And is there anyone else who's come in that wants to testify for House Bill 3187? Oh, yeah, 3187.
My name is James Edwards.
Sure. Come on up.
Right.
Thank you, Representative Lyon and Gerda, for waiting for one more panel.
Right here, James.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Are you seated?
I am.
Oh. Hello, Chair and Board members. My name is LaWanda Miranda. I'm with the Business Enterprise Program of Oregon. I'm the chairperson. The Business Enterprise Program is administered by the Oregon Commission for the Blind. And I am in favor of extending the terms for the commissioners. I think the commissioners have done a great job. We have new leadership at the agency. We're doing very well. We're working positive. We're partnering. We're moving our program forward. And I think if we lost those three commissioners that their terms are nearing, that it would be detrimental to our program because they know the challenges that we faced in the past and currently and everything in between. And I just think it's very important that they remain there for the benefit of, you know, my program, Business Enterprise Program, as well, and also other services that are rendered from the Oregon Commission for the Blind. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
James?
Hi. Hello, Chairperson and Chairwoman and fellow representatives. My name is James Edwards. I'm the President of the American Council of the Blind of Oregon and also a former commissioner. I served a two-year term, and then due to other responsibilities, I stepped down. But regarding, I'll just read my little statement. Regarding terms of office for the Commission for the Blind, I and my constituents see no harm in extending the terms of service for commissioners. Our interest is in the performance of the individual commissioners. We hope any person appointed to as a commissioner will take a sincere interest in the issues, do diligent research, and represent the blind community in the manner that is expected of them to protect our rights for equality, our safety, health, and welfare. I agree with Ms. McQuillan and with Ms. Miranda here that the terms of office you might want to look at extending them because having served on many different boards and commissioners in the past, I know that when you put new people on there, it takes them quite a while to get up to speed on the issues that they need to be concerned about. And I know that's especially true of the commission because you can't just walk into it and start doing a job that's without being educated on the issues of what you're supposed to be doing. So to me, it's a I wouldn't be opposed to having a two-four-year terms. 12 years, it seems to me, is rather extensive, but I think 8 years would be a good idea. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Lawanda, 12 versus 8 years, do you have any strong feelings either way?
I think 8 would be good.
Okay. Any questions for the panel? Okay, thank you so much. We're going to close the public hearing.
No one
else in the audience, right? Close the public hearing, 3187. And we're going to jump down to the work session because we have Representative Leininger here. I'm going to open a work session on 2629. Robin, could you please summarize the bill?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, as you recall, we heard this bill on March 11th that directs rental property owners to provide 1 year notice of loan maturity to tenants, local housing authority, and relevant Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. It provides up to 1 year residency grace period to tenants for property owners' failure to make notice. It declares an emergency effective on passage. There is a -5 amendment pending, requires property owners to notify tenants of rent assistance expiration and directs property owners to inform tenants entering into new rental agreements less than 1 year before a loan maturity. It also defines local governments. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact, though the statements have been issued.
Representative Leininger.
Thank you,
welcome.
Chair Kenny Geyer and members of the committee. I'm Representative Ann Leininger, and I'm delighted to be here today on behalf of a team of people in the affordable housing arena who've been working hard to preserve affordable housing around our state and make our best shot at preserving the rent subsidies that come from the federal government to help our most vulnerable community members stay in housing and have those projects work out. As you are aware, there are about 200 properties throughout Oregon that are financed by a special kind of federal mortgage subsidy, and when that mortgage term comes to an end, there's a possibility that the apartments will cease to be affordable. This bill would provide a year notice so that tenants and communities can try to figure out ways to keep the units affordable. These 200 properties have as many as 6,300 affordable apartments in them, and over the next 10 years, we believe that around 3/4 of those are going to reach their affordability expiration, so the need to plan on next steps is important. We've worked hard with the Realtors Association to reach some amendments. We support the -5 amendments that would help them feel comfortable with the program, and they are officially neutral. And there are a lot of people who've come together to make this happen. I urge your support. Thank you.
Any questions, Representative Leininger? Could you just briefly summarize what the -5 does?
I'm going to ask Rob Prash, the head of the Affordable Housing Preservation Group at Network for Oregon Affordable Housing, respond, please.
Thank you, Representative Leininger, Chair Kenny Geyer. The -5 amendment made it clear that this bill would not interfere with an owner's legal right to terminate residency for cause.
Any questions? I'll also just remind everyone that we had a very strong showing of support in our materials section, as well as testimony from Klamath Housing Authority, Oregon Opportunity Network, Oregon Law Center, Network for Oregon Affordable Housing, Community and Shelter Assistance Corporation, and others. Strong support. So, may I have a motion?
Chair Kenny Geyer, I move to adopt the -5 amendments dated 3/10/15 for House Bill 2629.
Vice Chair Peluso moves to adopt the -5 amendments dated 3/10/15 for House Bill 2629. Is there any objection? If not, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Kenny Geyer, I move House Bill 2629 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Peluso moves House Bill 2629 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Rep. Bueller?
Yes.
Rep. Evans?
Aye.
Rep. Gallegos?
Excused.
Rep. Hayden?
Aye.
Rep. Harris?
Aye.
Rep. Taylor?
Excused.
Vice Chair Stark?
Excused.
Vice Chair Peluso?
Aye.
Chair Kingar?
Aye. The motion passes. Representative Leininger, would you like to be the carrier?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work on
this. Thank you.
Okay. I close the work session on House Bill 2629 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2473. Robin, please summarize the bill.
It lingers.
That's right. That's what I hear. The bill post is telling me 2 weeks and counting for him.
There it is. My apologies. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2473 allows State Board of Licensed Social Workers to adopt rules on temporary licensures, including establishing fees. There is, to my knowledge, there is no one here to testify, and we received no written testimony on this bill either. Any questions or discussion? All right.
Seems logical.
Well,
just close it.
We will then close the public hearing on House Bill 2473 and open a work session on House Bill 2119. Robin, can we please have a summary?
2219.
Is it 2219? I'm sorry. 2219. Madam Chair, members of the committee, as you might recall, we heard this bill on the 9th of March. It directs the Department of Human Services to convene an application consolidation work group for human services programs. It requires a report to the Legislative Assembly by September 15th, 2016, declares emergency effective on passage. There's a dash one amendment stating that the state chief information officer would be required to be a work group participant. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact. There's a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. This was Nancy Nathanson, Representative Nathanson, that brought this to us. Mm-hmm. Good governance bill.
Any testimony?
No testimony. Nope.
Chair Kenny Geyer, I move to adopt the dash one amendment dated 3-3 of 2015 on House Bill 2219.
Vice Chair Peluso moves to adopt the dash one amendment stated 3-3-15 on House Bill 2219. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
I just want to reinforce a comment I made during a public hearing that I encourage the work group to investigate the IRS data retrieval tool that has been increasingly used for FAFSA form consolidation, ease of administration, to look into that option.
Thank you. Putting that back on the record. Any objection to the amendment? If not, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Kenny Geyer, I move House Bill 2219 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Peluso moves House Bill 2219 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Okay, seeing none, clerk, please call the roll.
Rep. Bueller?
Yes.
Rep. Evans?
Yes.
Rep. Gallegos?
Excuse.
Rep. Hayden?
Excuse. Oh,
yes.
Sorry. That was delayed.
I'm
there.
Here.
Yeah.
Rep. Harris?
Aye.
Rep. Taylor?
Excused.
Vice Chair Stark?
Excused.
Vice
Chair
Peluso?
Aye.
Chair
Kingar? Aye. The motion passes. And I close the work session on House Bill 2219. Open a work session on House Bill 3082. Robin, summary, please.
Sure.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, as you may recall, we heard this bill on March 11th. It provides an alternative definition of low income relating to home ownership, directs governing bodies to designate use of standard or alternative definition of low income, and allows governing bodies to change elected definition. Takes effect on the 91st day following sine die, and it sunsets the 30th of June 2027. Oh, my apologies. There is no fiscal impact and a minimal revenue impact.
Okay, thank you for helping us with our work session. Would you like to address something
yes.
in the bill?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Kenny Geyer and members of the committee. My name is Kate Allen. I am here today representing Portland Community Reinvestment Initiatives, a Northeast Portland nonprofit, here today with my colleagues from the Oregon Opportunity Network and the Housing Alliance, present to answer any questions that the committee might have about House Bill 3082.
So putting it in more lay terms, this was something that really allows cities to decide whether they wanted to use this, where they could allow people who are capped at the 60% of average median income to stay in these units until 80% so that they're not all of a sudden penalized and have to be evicted just because they're starting to make more income. This is something this committee is in general been very in favor of. We had a lot of great testimony from Urban League, Living Cully, Metro, Opportunity Network, City of Portland, Multnomah County, and others, highly in favor. No one was opposed. No other questions? Yep, Representative Dean.
Clarification. So this type of housing, I believe that we're talking about low-income housing, is in such short supply. If somebody moved into that between 60% and 80%, how long can they stay there?
So, Chair Genegaya and Representative Hayden, thank you for the question. In practice, this would actually apply mainly, we have found, to single-family rentals, which is such a much smaller proportion than the multifamily rentals around the state. But what the aim of this is again, to avoid that cliff for families so that as they move toward the cap, 80% is the absolute cap which they could reach. But what the PCRI and other nonprofits like them are trying to do is to move families up and out as they begin to prosper. So their aim is to move them to either private market or home ownership through the programs they provide as quickly as possible. So it's not stipulated in this statute, but local jurisdictions, should they choose to use this new option, can make their own stipulations at the local level.
Thank you for that. Any other questions? All right, can we have a motion?
Chair Kenny Geyer, I move House Bill 3082 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Peluso moves House Bill 3082 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Seeing none, Clerk, please call the roll.
Rep. Bueller?
Yes.
Rep. Evans?
Yes.
Rep. Gallegos?
Excused.
Rep. Hayden?
Aye.
Rep. Barry?
Aye.
Rep. Taylor?
Excused.
Vice Chair Stark?
Excused. We have a lot of ill people today, at least two of those. So.
Vice Chair Peluso?
Aye. Aye. The motion passes. Is there anyone that would like to carry this with Lou Frederick? Or we will ask him to.
I can do that with him.
Okay. So Representative Peluso and Representative Frederick as co-carriers. Okay. Let's see.
I think we're done.
Any announcements? We have an exciting agenda on Wednesday, so read up on the bills that we will be working and hearing on Wednesday. And with that, we adjourn the committee. I adjourn the Committee on Human Services and Housing.
Setting a record.
Record time.
Record.
Like it.
Yes. A record.
Record time.
Record.
Like it.
Yes.